You're listening to the World's Team Podcast. It's not just America's team, Cowboys Nation. It's the world's team. Now, here are your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
How about them Cowboys?
What's up, Cowboys Nation? Welcome back to another episode of the World's Team Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Network, powered by FanDuel Sportsbook, and sponsored by Cowboys Experience for the ultimate meet and greet, stadium tours, game tickets, tailgating, all the above. Be sure to go to www.cowboysexperience.com and use the discount code WorldsTeam2025. It's upon us, Mike. We are days out from flying out to go to the Philadelphia Eagles game. We're going to be traveling with the UK Cowboys fans as a whole massive group trip with our sponsor, Cowboys Experience. And, man, I'm excited. I don't know about you, man, but things are starting to kind of look somewhat on the positive side with Dallas. Obviously, we had that 33-16 win against the Raiders last week on Monday Night Football. A lot of good positives taken forward. I know we keep saying it was just against the Raiders and we're now going up into the more difficult part of the season. But in retrospective, the Eagles, even though they may be 8-2, but they're struggling in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you look at things like A.J. Brown, he's having a down year. You look at Saquon Barkley. Things are slowing down for him, almost like as if last season's volume is kind of catching up on him. As well as on top of that, their offensive line is beaten up. So there's pieces that they could be without on that offensive line, which brings issues again for the run game, Jalen Hurts, and of course the ever questionable false starts. With the tush push.
Do I go too deep onto that? But yeah, it's getting ridiculous. That's all I'm going to say on that. Like, enough's enough, really.
When you look at last week's game, clearly it's false start across the line and it doesn't get called. Then on the opposite side, something lesser happens. And they call it. And you're just like, here's my thing with officials, right? They're going to get it wrong, okay? So I do coaching and refereeing in rugby. And one of the things you say when you're refereeing is be consistent is what you got to do. So if you're going to do that on the Eagles side, you can't then turn around because now you're creating disparity. You're creating what people think is collusion. So what happens then is that gets fans backs up and questions what's going on there. I know you didn't want to get too deep in it, so we won't, but sticking with the Eagles offense, they do get a lot of help in terms of what goes on there. Devonta Smith is still somebody they've got to take care of. Dallas Goedert is, you know, the ever thorn in the side for the Cowboys, tight ends kind of in general, but Goddard usually does have big days against Dallas. So that's something they need to cover. But we're hoping what we saw last week against an elite tight end in Brock Bowers, they stopped him getting into the paint. They didn't let him score a touchdown. Sure, he made reception. You're going to bend on defense, but they didn't break. And yep, that's what you're hoping they can continue to do as they get into the start of what is a very, very intense and condensed part of the schedule here. As not just in terms of time, but in team talent too.
Absolutely, Chris. We've got the Chiefs, we've got the Eagles, we've got the Chargers, we've got the Vikings. I mean, those four games, like, big question mark, but as of right now, kind of with the momentum that we're going, it's like, who knows? We've definitely brought down the odds in more in our favor. It's not as a big leap. And it's funny that I mentioned that with the FanDuel Sports odds, in terms of the spread, The Eagles are favourites at -3.5, okay, which is +100 for them. Oh. Dallas obviously +3.5, with being set to -122. On the money line, however, Philly is favourites at -178. Dallas is at a +150. And the over and under is set at 47.5. The over is at -115, and the under is set at -105. Any thoughts?
To me, that's actually not a bad... What they've got there is pretty much on the money, I would say. It's quite...
No pun intended there.
No pun. But... When you think of all of that, it's kind of like where I am expecting to be. I do think Cowboys can get a win here. Mostly momentum, home game, confidence. They're obviously fired up from what we saw from the Raiders game with what happened during the bye week. So, you know, although I'm saying it's close, I do still think it swings the other way. But we'll get into that later.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah, in terms of the likes of the Cowboys and the Eagles, obviously this is one of the longest rivalries in the NFL. With a total, well, not a total series, but with the series being where as of right now, the Cowboys lead the series with 74 wins over 59 losses. Mm-hmm. Also with that, the Cowboys are currently in a 3-game losing streak against the Eagles.
Yeah.
But for historical reasons as well, the Cowboys' largest win was back in 1966 with a score of 50-67. Yeah. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up, Mike, is obviously the way how our offense is especially operating right now with like CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. Yeah. Can we maybe expect more fireworks from this offense going into this game?
Definitely when you see how they started utilizing two other guys, Brevin Spanford and Hunter Lipke. What makes that interesting is it's making the offense less predictable. You're seeing Ryan Flournoy making touchdown passes. Yeah. You've still got a guy you could bring in here with Jonathan Mingo. There's an option there.
Well, he was obviously inactive last week.
Correct, yeah.
And questions do have been raised by Cowboys Nation. Like, what are we going to do with Jonathan Mingo here? Like, is he actually going to feature in the game? Because obviously, me and you took a deep dive into Jonathan Mingo during the offseason a lot. And we kind of laid out the facts. He came in last year with basically Cooper Rush as his quarterback, being thrown in the gauntlet with very little time to acclimatize, essentially. Now he's had a full off season working with Dak, looked great in camp. Then obviously he picked up the injury and it's been struggling to kind of get himself back into the fold, essentially. So I'm very curious to know what is the plan with Mingo right now.
Definitely when you think they've used that fourth round draft pick on him in the trade. Yeah, you don't want it to be another wasted one. You know, we talk about the Cowboys linebacker core being an issue, the secondary being an issue. These fourth round picks that we lost, that's where you get those guys. And, you know, if you don't strike on those type of picks, that's when teams really begin to struggle. But the Cowboys ship them off for players. One for a player that really didn't, a quarterback that did not at all transpire into anything useful. Now you're wondering, is that happening again with Jonathan Mingo? If that's the case, they completely wasted picks.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. But in speaking about like some injuries, Mike, we do have the latest injury report. So obviously this being recorded on Thursday, which is the 20th of November. As of right now, from today's injury report, Malik Hooker did not practice. Jadeveon Clowney, Dante Fowler, Solomon Thomas were limited. But the great news is Dak was back in full practice, along with Tyler Smith, Donovan Wilson, and Perrion Winfrey had his second full practice today also. But on the Eagles side, and now this gets very interesting, Mike. Lane Johnson, the all-pro tackle for the Eagles, still has not practiced this week. Cam Juggins was also limited today, whereas Miles Hilton, Willie Lampkin, and Jalen Phillips were in full practice today. Any thoughts on the injury report, Mike?
So Lane Johnson is, there's a big question mark on how long he's going to be out for. So he's definitely, without a doubt, going to miss this game, which is huge, right? Talking of the false starts that we were just talking about with those tush-push plays, Lane Johnson is one of the ones who's usually off the snap way earlier than everybody. How he gets away with it and why, I do not know.
I'm pretty sure there's multiple compilation videos of Lane Johnson doing that, to be honest.
Makes no sense how it doesn't happen. Cam Juergens is obviously, again, just he just dilutes, or not dilutes, but concentrates the opposite, the situation even more. That makes it more fold. So that's more issues for them to try and negotiate. The rest of them, you know, I mean, they're full practices, so you kind of like, especially Jalen Phillips, because he's the type of guy that can give Terrence Steele absolute nightmares over on that side. And Terrence Steele will play a very, very big integral part, especially on third down, where if he's not doing his job and we have to chip on that side, that means Jake Ferguson is one less outlet on third down, which is extremely important. I know he's not widely targeted in third down. I don't know why. But it means the other wide receivers have to take up that slack if that's the case. So that's a big one for them to get Phillips back.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, man. I mean, and you kind of talked about the offensive line there. And obviously, with the first game of the season, opening day of the 2025 season, we played against the Eagles at Lincoln Financial. One particular player that got ejected from the game, he will be playing this game. And that is Jalen Carter. What would it take for the Cowboys, and especially for the likes of rookie Tyler Booker, and obviously now could be BB back in the fold, back to full strength, etc. Obviously, he missed a couple of games prior. What do we need to do to kind of help Dak out in terms of stopping Jalen Carter?
Yeah, I mean, generally, the pass rush win rate for the Eagles, they rank 19th. So it's not widely big, but where they do win is inside. Him and Jordan together, the two Georgia boys, are extremely good. You got Mauro Jomo as well in there, who leads the team in sacks with 4 sacks, and he has the most total pressures among all defense inside defensive. Because he is, whether you want to argue, he is an inside defensive lineman. So he leads that team in total pressure. So he's actually doing quite well. What they need to do, communication is key. Communication on this is absolute key. Because when they start simulating pressure, trying to maybe get a couple of loops in there, you're going to have to concentrate on the looper. Cooper Beebe plays an integral part in terms of that communication. He has to be the guy that is calling the slide protections, finding the mic for Dak, making sure that he's got everybody on that line singing off the same hymn sheet. In terms of the run, Dallas Cowboys are really, really good. Their run block win rate is phenomenal. You see most of the guys, even, as I say, Cooper Beebe, his run blocking grade on PFF is way higher than his pass blocking grade. But what is impressive that I like about Cooper Beebe, his last 2 games, 0 pressures allowed, 0 sacks, 0 penalties, an absolute clean game in his last 2 games, which is showing that everything's trending in the right direction. Tyler Guyton in last week's game against Vegas, I thought, all right, there was the one slip up early on in the game. They settled down. They got into it. Guyton, I think, had one of his better or best games against the Raiders. Steele is a guy, he's a guy who lives, he lives in a world of two halves. Run blocking, absolutely, he's got it. You see him, controls, he's under control, heavy hands, keeping the hips in the right place, half manning perfectly. He's got it. Pass protection is just like a complete, he's still trying to figure it out. Most pressures allowed on the team, second in penalties. And although they're not pre-snap penalties, because they're the most, they're the biggest headaches, it does mean that they're all like holding calls. You know, I think it's been a holding call. And I think he may have had one call where he was ineligible downfield. I could be wrong. I'd have to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to double check that.
Yeah. But, I mean, in terms of the offensive line, they've got to communicate. They've got to work together. This inside defensive line is... And I'm not worried about Booker. Booker's flying at the moment. He's
been fantastic.
Yeah.
He really has. Mm-hmm. And, he's really kind of showing, like, Jerry and Steven made the right choice by going for a guard so early in the first round. And he has really kind of shown it. Like, although, like, he still has some things he still needs to kind of work on in terms 100%. Of, like, control, in terms of, like, not giving up silly penalties, like sports misconduct, etc. But you learn and you adapt from that, so... But in terms of the offense, though, Mike, how vital is CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens going to be in this game?
Most definitely on those. Although you don't want to live in third and medium and third and long situations, Lamb and Pickens on third down are essential in this game. They have to be. I mean, the good news is on the road, the Eagles struggle on third down. They're seventh worst. Which is a positive thing, and Cowboys are top 10 on offense in terms of third down efficiency. But it's really Pickens and Lamb that are going to be integral to this. The shorter situations, I mean, they can go either way. That's more about aggression at that stage. I mean, you know what it's like when it's third and short. Gets ugly down there in the trenches. It's the third and long where it's most, or third and medium, where it's most important for those two guys to help the offense convert and stay on schedule.
Yeah, no, I totally 100% agree. Like, and the one thing as well, like, we've got, like, Sajid Ferguson as well. Ryan Flournoy, who scored last week, he's starting to make some more contributions to the team also. I mean, and let's not forget the running game. And if that's one thing we did really, really well, and again, I know it was only against the Raiders, but we really spread this offense very evenly. I believe it was 33 passing snaps and 31 rushing snaps. So it was almost exactly 50-50.
Yeah.
So do we expect to see Schottenheimer kind of stick to that same game plan? And also, what type of a... action do we see Schottenheimer implementing this? Do we go quick passing, or do we just like really like try and go for the big plays?
Yeah, it's quick passes. You've got to go to try and eliminate what's coming at you through the middle. The quick slants, the quick outs, that's the way to do it. Get that ball out quickly. Get the ball moving. That's going to second guess that pass rush that's coming in at you. In terms of with Schottenheimer's ethos for this game, I know it was very, very balanced last week. It's hard to say at this stage. The easiest thing to say is it really, off the first couple of drives, you're going to see whether this goes. They do have to establish the run. They have to, in order to establish the play action, and to keep the defense honest. Because if they can establish a ground game, then that's going to end up pulling defensive and, you know, more defenders into the box, giving Pickens and Lamb more free reign on the outside. So that would be my particular take on that. I don't know if you have the same thoughts and feelings on that.
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of share the same sentiment towards that. But, I mean, I really don't actually really have much else to add on top of that, Chris. I know, like, I do strongly believe the quick passing is very vital going into this game. Chris, we don't want, like, say, Jalen Phillips and Jalen Carter to basically break it into the gaps and put the pressure on Dak. We do not want that. So get the ball out quickly, run play action, get, like, say, Javonte Williams involved as well, and really just take it to this Eagles defense. And that's the one thing that we kind of spoke about on the UK Cowboys fans, is that what type of way do we want to go here? Do we just kind of like go full out, be very aggressive? Because let's be honest, Mike, this game is a must win. Essentially every game from now, if we have any chance to have a glimpse of making the playoffs, I believe we're, what, 7% of actually a chance of making the playoffs.
Right.
We're in the hunt as of right now. It sounds crazy, the fact because we're 4-5-1 at this moment, like, and we're still in the hunt. But given that's been said, should Schottenheimer just go out and, like we saw last week, fourth down, we went for it, given the situations, do we see more of that?
Yeah, I think you have to. At this stage, you're playing playoff football. Each win keeps the control of destiny in your own hands. You lose a game at any stage at this point, you're kind of now looking at the rest of the league going, well, did they win? Who are they up against? Who is the common opponent? You start playing that game. Whereas if they do keep the pace up, which Schottenheimer will know he needs to, then they can keep everything within their control, basically. I mean, that does mean that he's gonna have to go into his playbook, find all of his best plays, and just come out with them. I know, like, you try and keep some back for the playoffs. Nah, you're in playoff mode now, so go for it.
Yeah. All right then, Mike. Hit me with it. Who are the key players to watch in this game?
On our side or their side?
Either way.
I mean, on the Cowboys side, on offense, it's Dak. Dak is the big one. His efficiency will be everything and anything that is going on. That means guys like we just mentioned, Terrence Steele, Tyler Guyton, they need to do their jobs. That makes them key. Javonte Williams establishing the run is big, but I think what makes him also key is getting him involved in the passing game, because that's something that can put them on the back foot. Eagles historically struggle defending running backs in the pass. They've done it before in the past, and it's come to bite them. On the opposite side is Jalen Hurts, Devonta Smith, Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley's had a dip, as we said at the start of the show, but Devonta Smith, his game has risen while AJ Brown's has come down. So he is the one to watch. The opposite way around, we mentioned the two big guys in the middle. You got Jalen Phillips as well, Mauro Jomo, we mentioned as well. N'Kobe Dean. Sneaky. That's one to watch. But on the Cowboys' defense, key players, there's almost a carbon copy of what we were saying. Inside defensive lineman for the Cowboys, Quinnen Williams, can he continue to do what he did last week?
Yeah.
Kenny Clark, Osar Odighizuwa, but also the edges. Now we know that they're exposed because of injury. Donovan Isaraku. You are probably going to see, do they play some more Sam Williams? Because, I mean, Sam Williams has been struggling this year. So I don't know if he's going to be doing it. But I tell you a player who I was impressed with last week, not because he was elite, but because he had a bounce back. Everyone's talking about Deron Bland bouncing back. Sure, he did. I tell you, a player who did bounce back in a sneaky under-the-radar way was Shamar James.
Yes, I think he was second in total tackles last week.
Yeah, I think
as well.
He had seven tackles.
Yep, so, yeah, James had a comeback game as well, but obviously DeLon Bland was pretty much the star in terms of the secondary. But also, we can't forget Kenneth Murray as well. Mm. Like, of all of his criticism this season, that was his best game as a Cowboy. And I think with the new acquisitions that we have brought in, with likes of Logan Wilson to kind of take a certain type of role that actually helps likes of Murray out, and with likes of the defensive line adding likes of Williams, it's actually kind of made things more work, and we did get to see more effectiveness within the zone defense. So hopefully that continues and trends. For me, Mike, key players to watch is George Pickens for me. I think he obviously wants to kind of go out and try and earn that new contract, and he's going to do everything what it takes to really get Jerry to say, I need to give him this checkbook before he becomes ridiculously expensive. He already is expensive. But,
he's already between 30 and 35 mil. Easy. Yeah,
but you don't want to be going way beyond that. Also, in terms of the defensive side of the ball, I think for like Dallas, it's Siobhan Revel. The second game is going to be quite interesting to see how he goes up against likes of Devontae Smith and likes of AJ Brown. So I'll be very intrigued to see how much reps he gets, obviously.
That would be the one, yeah. Mm-hmm. The snap count is going to be the thing that's most important. I mean, obviously, efficiency is most important. But yeah, snap count is where we start. Yeah. Is it more? Is it the same? Because that's going to tell you a lot about what the coach is feeling in terms of his health.
And one more is on the defense is Damavion Overshown. Mm-hmm. We do need him to be that spy in some way, because if that's one thing that Jalen Hurts is good at, as much as I hate to give
that's
credit
what I mean.
For,
yeah,
he can break out the pocket and run with the ball, and that's one of our biggest weaknesses we've had this year is quarterbacks escaping the pocket and running upfield and earning the next first down. So I think we do need likes of Overshown to kind of have that oversight, reading the quarterback and being in the right position at the right time to kind of isolate him from actually trying to even consider running upfield. So I think that's definitely vital going into this game.
I would say on that one. Another player I'm thinking of, Zach Bond, the linebacker.
I was going to mention this when we were on the UK Cowboys fans. Zach Bond, he's kind of been very quiet from my understanding. So maybe something there. Maybe something like Jake Ferguson could expose in this game also.
Yeah. Definitely. Their safeties can certainly be exposed. I know, obviously, their free safety, Reed Blankenship, is pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And same with, like, Cooper DeJean, etc. I mean, let's not make no mistake here. Like, the Eagles' defense is pretty good. Like, even though we were quite shocked in terms of the statistics of where they're ranked right now in terms of, like, they were 19th on, what was it, the rush defense?
Pass rush win rate.
Quite surprising, but that's kind of why, now you can understand that's why they made the trade for the likes of Jalen Phillips. So it's definitely something to watch, ladies and gentlemen. All right. I think it's now time for your segment again now, Mike. It's now time for Mike's Would You Ravels.
Well, you almost answered the question a moment ago. It's about quarterback spy. My question is, hold on, I did have it here. All right, I'll give you a different one. Okay. Would you rather allow zero explosive plays all game, but bend for 7 field goals against the Eagles? Or give up 2 explosive plays and get a red zone takeaway?
defence on takeaway would actually be a quite a nice one. But yeah, but I, if it's me personally, I would isolate the Eagles to field goals. If that's the case, if that was to be the situation, if they're beyond their like, if they're in our half of the football field, so I'd be more inclined to not give them as much opportunity to put full points on the board, just isolate them to field goals. But if that's one thing we have improved also, mate, is special teams.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked about that much, not just with Brandon Aubrey, but in terms of pass block, like field goal blocks, punt blocks, you name it, we're getting better.
Their kick coverage has been really, really good. I would say that. But the punting from Anger, not bad. I mean, that punt that he put on the Raiders that landed on the 1 yard line, I mean, that was beautiful. That set up the Donovan Isaraku safety.
Yeah, that was absolutely beautiful to watch. Mm. All right, do you have any more would you rathers before we go to our score predictions?
Okay, I can give you one more. Would you rather see Quinn and Williams living in the backfield again in this game, or you see the love spread out across the defensive line and you see Osa in there, Donovan Isaraku, Dante Fowler if he plays? So rather than one guy dominate the whole game, you now see a collective effort across the defensive line.
100% a collective effort. And the reason why I say that is, like, I would expect Quinn Williams to still have a good game.
Mm.
But with him being effective as it is, that opens the floodgates for the other guys to make these other plays. It's a pure chain reaction when you're on that defensive line. Like, if one guy gets double teamed and they're struggling and the offensive line's struggling, that's going to open the door for likes of a linebacker or likes of the free tech to actually sneak inside, pull a spin move or pull a rip move, whatever that may be, get into likes of Jalen Hurts. So, and it kind of helps with the defensive ends having a more one-on-one situation. So that's why I'm saying I would rather prefer a more collective and rather than just rely on one dominant player. He could still be dominant on the field, but it's now like the focus is on him and all the other players are now stepping up. And that's what we need. We need all the other guys to step up. So that's where I'm going with that one.
There we go.
There we go. All right, Mike, hit me with it. Score predictions. And your bowl predictions also.
Okay. My score prediction, Cowboys win this one. 28-24 is my score prediction.
All right. In terms of my score prediction, Mike, which you already know, I am going big for the Dallas Cowboys for this game. Not just because it's back at home. We're going to be there. We're going to be loud. Not just us, but also with the rest of the UK Cowboys fans. We're going to scream the roof up and down, and also we're going to be doing that at Thanksgiving, I may add. I have got the Dallas Cowboys winning 41-27.
Killer.
I'm going big on this one, Mike.
I think against the Eagles is what I always say.
Yep. I've got Dak Prescott really, really showing why he was in that conversation of MVP in this game. I really do. So hopefully that may be the case. But okay, Mike, hit me with your bold predictions.
All right. My first bold prediction is...
Before you do say that, you were almost exactly spot on with your bold prediction last week.
I mean, like, if you said to somebody, Ashton Gentry's going to go for less than 30 rush yards, you'd be like, shut up.
And also, I will need to get the guy's username who always comments on our YouTube videos. But he made a bold prediction. I'm going to get it up right now, actually. Let me see here. He said he had the Cowboys winning 35-17 against the Raiders, with Quinnen Williams gets a fumble, a sack, and three tackles for loss. CD Pickens and Ferd all with a touchdown.
Oh.
But he did mention Javonte too, but that didn't happen last week.
He was close.
Very close. So that's RP at RPE 63, we really appreciate you always commenting on the show on YouTube.
Bad bowl prediction.
It was a fantastic bowl prediction. Really is. So big shout out to you, dude. Sorry, mate, did you already mention your bowl prediction?
No, I got a bold prediction that Kevontae Turpin, he has a bounce back and scores this week. But it's on special teams.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm going proper bold in this one. Like, because not many people are expecting much with this guy being his second game for the Dallas Cowboys. You know where I'm going with this. You know,
yeah, come on.
All right. And you know I'm a big fan of the guy when he was playing in college.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Siobhan Rebel getting his first interception against the Eagles when he's matched up against Devontae Smith.
That was your prediction last week.
No, it wasn't. Was it?
Yeah, you predicted Rebel to happen. I like it. Stay consistent. Stay consistent, Paul.
It will happen, but if I want to go offensively on the ball, I've got... This is where my bowl prediction is going to happen. I've got Pickens with 2 touchdowns, Ferguson with 1, and Williams with 1. But I think we're going to see more of a spread in terms of yardage from CD Lamb in this game.
Okay. All right. If you want me to give you I give you a special teams one. You want a defensive one?
Offense or defense, wherever.
I got one for offense.
Choose your poison, yep.
I got one for offense. That in the red zone, we see 2 touchdowns from tight ends.
Oh, span Jake forward.
Jake Ferguson and span forward.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Could be more of a 12-man package? We can actually maybe use Hunter Luckey as that disguised tight end.
He's featuring. He featured last week, setting up some very interesting drives. Thanks to what he did, his performance.
He certainly did. But yes, folks, that is the end of this episode. As of right now, me and Mike are in a holiday mode. We are going to be traveling on Saturday from Heathrow Airport. I'll be traveling from Glasgow to London. Mike will be traveling to London. And we're going to be flying on Saturday to Dallas. And we're going to have an absolute great time. Not just for the Eagles game, but we're also going to be in Dallas. So for the likes of the post-game show, it's going to be coming from Dallas. So you're going to see a different change of scenery when you see us for the post game show, and also
The flags will be there.
That's true. Yeah, flags are going to be there. But also on Wednesday, we are going to be at the Cowboys Experience meet and greet, and we're going to be live for that event. So be sure to go on YouTube. We're going to be going live on X as well, just to kind of like really raise the profile of the stream as well. So if you want to come along, we're going to have some amazing guests. We've got some players coming onto the show. We've got further Cowboys fans as well. The Super Cowboy. There's the guys from our good friends from Cowboys Can Fan are going to be there. DJ Kai from California, One Star One Family. So many people that you should know within Cowboys Nation, they're all going to be there. And we're absolutely going to be loving it. So, but before we do go, Mike, anything else you'd like to say?
I cannot wait to get to that airport, Paul, and me and you, to drink responsibly mojitos before we get on our plane.
Mojitos and margaritas. That's my poison chalice for me, man.
No. And what's funny is we're going to be in the airport early, like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. But it's never too early for an alcoholic beverage at the airport.
It's a standard. Yeah, it's a standard. For me, I need to leave the house at 3 o'clock in the morning.
So that's what I'm going for. I'm leaving at 3:30.
Yeah. All right, mate. Please let everyone know where everyone can find you, and we can head off. And basically start packing all of our equipment.
Yeah, all this needs to be packed up, yeah. But you can find me on Twitter or X at Kenfig Cowboy. That's Kenfig with a K, Cowboy with a K. And you, Mr. P?
You can follow me at I Am P-Stew on X and Instagram. But also, be sure to follow the UK Cowboys fans, as we will be posting regular updates of what we're up to. If you're really interested to see what we're doing behind the scenes, going to the stadium tours, going to the meet and greets, all that's going to be there also. So be sure to go and check us out there also. But yes, folks, we're up against the Eagles Sunday. Then it's on to Thanksgiving. Will the Cowboys get a victory against our most hated rivals? We shall see. But like as always here at the World's Team, it's not just America's team. It is the World's Team. We will see you guys back in Dallas for the post-game show. Have a good one, folks, and have a great weekend.
That's a wrap on the World's Team Podcast. Smash that like button and hit subscribe, Cowboys Nation. This ain't just America's team, it's your team.
Touchdown!
It's the World's Team, only on Bleav, where real fans live.
How about them Cowboys?